about. You gotta put it in
perspective. All right, radio, time for you to tell me what this all means.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's been a great day. Our avocado adventure. Actually, we also saw a dog eat an avocado today.
Right.
The grove we were just visiting.
Yes.
Their dogs ate avocados, and they are have the shiniest, healthiest looking coat.
Should we really have exotic pets?
Bean, you are such a idiot. Stupid. Your face is an exploding pimple.
Love, love, love you, baby. Oh, love you, baby. Oh, love you, baby.
Oh, the beach about to kick in.
You know what? Turn it up.
And now.
Okay, is everybody ready for facials?
Our feature presentation.
That's disturbing. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:37. It's Wednesday morning. It's August the 1st.
Hey,
Oh, Bean.
What? I already said it. I said it before we got on the radio.
What?
Is that where you were? Is that where you were, O'Beanie?
I took care
of that business already.
That's before. Great.
White rabbits, right rabbits, right rabbits.
Hmm. When you stumble over it, does it work?
Well, I'd already done it. So
okay.
This is, yeah, it's just, okay. I'm just recreating it for the cameras now.
And how do you think that works?
Let's not get into that. Look, you believe in God. You can't mock white rabbits, all right? Same principle. Same principle. Just mine's not written down in a book that's old. Before we move on, we all have regrets in life. Like you guys, you know, wish you'd gotten in on the Twitter stock when I did. Because it's down $14 now from where I bought it 6 years
where
ago.
Where did you buy it? At what price?
I can never remember. I think it was Dave remembers. I think it was like 45 maybe.
Okay. And now?
It's 31 today.
Hey, that's not bad though.
Considering
it's been in the 20s.
Yeah, considering right. It's been in the teens.
Teens, right.
It was down like 13 at one point.
So sell.
So you, I know you guys have a lot of regret that you're not riding the Twitter train like I am.
Sure.
But I have a regret that I would like to announce as well. And it involves one of the two new segments that we debuted on the show yesterday. Of course, Beat It Kid, that's forever.
Sure.
That'll never die. Beat It Kid is my favorite new segment of the year. But I debuted a new segment yesterday called Pianos in the News, if you recall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In fact, get the reverb ready because I – oops, that's not the right thing. Because I do
– what's happening?
That's the wrong clip. Get the reverb ready because I do have an update on Pianos in the News.
Oh, that's great news.
Yesterday, you recall, the feature was called Pianos in the News. Okay.
Okay.
Joe Glennon, Kevin and Bean listener, tweets me yesterday and says, "Hey, Bean, maybe there would be more excitement over Pianos in the News if you change the name to Pianist News. Play to your audience, sir."
He is not wrong.
He destroyed me.
That's pretty strong.
I've never been more obliterated than I am by that. How did I not name it Pianist News?
It's a great question.
You would have been all over
it if
it had been Pianist News. I was fighting an uphill battle yesterday trying to get pianos in the news.
Yeah, you fail.
Oh, I suck.
I mean, I think it's okay, though.
Yeah, we're going to bounce back.
Because Pianos in the News and Pianist News are never going to be a thing, so don't worry about it.
Oh, but the guy in
oh,
pizza.
Good. Right?
I'm still holding out hope for Pianist News making a comeback.
Okay.
I'm going to keep my eyes peeled. If we see some more piano stories, believe me, I'm going to go for it.
Sure.
It can rise again, Bean.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. When's the next Beat It Kid, by the way?
Oh, soon. I'm compiling that.
We will have to figure that out.
All right. Thing two. A father of don't need that.
We're okay, you don't need it anymore. Okay.
A father of five in Muncie, Indiana, is in the news right now. He put up a Facebook post that has gone viral. Have you seen this, Allie? Have you seen the free ass whoopings?
No.
Okay. He is a father of five, as I mentioned, and he put up a Facebook post that has gotten a tremendous amount of reaction. Look, there's a long time controversy in this country about whether it's okay to spank your kids or not. And most people our age, I think, probably got spanked when mm-hmm. we were growing up. But that has, you know, every few years that gets less and less popular. And now experts come out and say that it doesn't help. It just you'll have worse kids if you spank your kids. But a lot of parents swear by it.
I was spanked.
Yeah,
when I was a kid. And look at me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Look
I'm
at
still
me.
Spanked.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, not by my parents.
Right. It's a different thing. Very different.
Whoever I ask.
In that dungeon, right.
Yeah.
So his name is Dwayne Stamper, and here's the post he put up. Bust that ass. Standing in line at a local restaurant today, a mother and her son, maybe 5 or 6 years old. He's crying, holding a blanket. She says to him, "That's enough, honey." Still cries, cries, cries. A few minutes go by. I ask, "Would you like me to take care of that?" Mom replies, "Oh, no, he's just upset. He didn't get any gum." I tried to ignore it, but after 5 more minutes of the ridiculous crying, I said, "You know, if you bust his ass, he'll stop that crying." By the way, I don't know that bust his ass is a way that makes it palatable to people. Grandma speaks up and said, "No, he won't. He's spoiled. I had to put in my 2 cents and tell them that a good crack on the ass with a belt will fix the problem. Trust me." By the way, I love unsolicited advice from strangers at a restaurant.
Oh, moms love it.
As a person with kids, all parents love to be just any kind of advice you have for them. Go ahead and share it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they get punched in the face.
Especially breastfeeding. If you could share your thoughts on a mom that isn't breastfeeding and tell her why she's wrong.
What a crazy aggressive group that is.
It's insane.
Holy crap.
Although, Kevin, I've heard you have plenty to say about soccer parents, just not to their faces. You just say it behind their backs, right?
Soccer parents.
You got a lot of comments on the parents who show up at the games and
they're horrible people.
Ruin it for them. They're horrible.
Oh, you
wouldn't,
horrible.
You wouldn't
people.
Say to them. You wouldn't say it to them in person.
I would if need be.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I would say, "Beat it, kid."
Yeah.
Dwayne goes on. "My parents never let me cry at a store, and especially if I was crying because I didn't get something I wanted. Parents, if you let your child act this way, you're the problem with our snowflake society today." There's a key word right there, by the way.
Yeah.
This guy's doing everything but wearing his MAGA hat. "You don't have to beat your child, but you do have to show them others in this world don't want to hear their crybaby little ass." So in an interview with the Huffington Post, he said, "Look, this is how I was raised. This is how my grandparents were raised. And by the way, don't think I'm into child abuse. I'm not. I never spanked any of my kids over the age of 13 because at that point they can't be changed by a paddle. They have no fear." And he says, "There's no, you should never hit a kid anywhere other than on the butt. I'm not talking about slapping them or hitting them with your hand or your fist or anything like that, except for spanking on the butt. And I believe in it." And it has, as you can imagine, just reignited that controversy that has been discussed for years and years among parents. So, who knows what the real answer is, but what do you guys think about his post and what do you guys think about the issue?
I've never spanked my kid past 13. Just made me go, wait, what? Obviously, if you have to spank your kid at 12, something you're doing isn't connecting. Mm-hmm. Something's not right.
I feel like we've moved past that time. Like when I was a kid, I was spanked, but now I have kids. I've never spanked them. Yeah. There's other things that you can do that are so much more effective.
Yeah, here's the thing. If the kid's crying...
keep it to yourself.
Yeah, for sure. If the kid's crying for 15 minutes because he didn't get gum and he's six, maybe a stern look a long time ago would have put that right away. If my dad gave me a look in a restaurant, I'd be like, oh...
To this day.
Okay,
so, but what does the look represent? How is he backing up the look if there's not a paddle waiting for you when you get home?
Oh, if there's not a paddle waiting for you at home, there's no TV, or you're going to bed right after dinner.
Yeah, take away your phone, whatever.
Yeah, there's consequences to your actions. Mm-hmm. I think parents nowadays, and for a very long time, they just want to be your buddy, and that is a problem.
Yeah. So discipline, yes. Corporal punishment, no.
Correct.
Seems to be where we're all coming down. And I think I agree with that. But by the way, in his Facebook post, and then we'll move on, he not only wrote everything that I wrote, but he also went to the trouble of putting up a photograph of himself sitting out in his driveway with a big table and a cardboard sign on it that says "Free Ass Whoopins," and he's holding a paddle. So this is almost like this is a crusade for this guy. This guy's really into hitting kids.
He just wants to hit kids.
I think that's what's going on.
It's not
a
discipline thing. He just likes to beat them up.
This could have been our Beat It Kids segment.
Right? He literally is beating kids. So don't do that, I guess. I guess what we're saying is don't be like Dwayne.
Right, exactly. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin B. Show, shall we?
Chocolate milk for everyone.
Animal stories on the program today. We have weird turn-ons, which is an endless list.
Yeah.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Director David Barry, who has made a movie called Dream Out Loud, and it's a U2 fan film.
Yeah.
Which looks fascinating. We have Susan Michaels for CatCon 2018.
You're going to go this year, right, Kevin?
Because cats suck, first of all.
Why don't
and
you
second
go?
Second of all, I hate puns.
Uh-huh. Cats are
so
awesome.
So she's going to say, it's going to be a perfect weekend. I'm going to go, stop it.
Why
stop
don't
it
you
right
go
meow.
And judge, like, the kitten beauty contest or something like that this year? Oh, that would be so fun.
The kitten beauty contest.
What's cuter than a kitten?
A puppy.
Beat it, kid.
Oh.
Not
Listen,
happening.
I don't like cats either.
Right.
I do like puns,
and I'm not a pun
like
fan.
How mad it makes you.
I'm not kitten. This is going to be terrible.
Oh, Kevin!
Cats are so happy over that nonsense. And we're running out of time because Friday we're going to Las Vegas, and we've got two different chances for you to win. Kevin and Bean built this pool singles party with your best and worst quality. That's what we're going to be looking for today. In the 6 o'clock hour, we will take some calls on your best and worst quality. I hate kids. Maybe one of my worst or best, depending on your view.
Could be both.
Right. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
That means it's time for Allie's first look at what's happening on this Wednesday.
Well, Dave just handed me something that I know people are waiting for, so I want to let you know.
Right. And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Dear members of the press,
and now, a breaking news bulletin.
For your future planning.
Live, local, late breaking.
Be sure to save the date, you guys.
Save the date.
A treasured American tradition for 87 years.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
The 87th annual Hollywood Christmas Parade. Sunday, November 25th.
Yay!
Finally have a date. So I assume we start packing up our stuff.
Right.
Heading on out there to the parade route, get the best seat. Right?
Like mid-October?
Oh, mid-October. I was thinking soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why they're telling us to save the date now.
Oh, gotcha. You want to sleep on the sidewalk until the parade?
Yes! You kidding?
Who doesn't?
Right? We, of course, don't know who the celebrity Grand Marshal will be or who some of the celebrities from film, television, stage, award-winning bands from around the country. We don't know who they will be, what horses will be in it. Not sure yet, but whew, save the date. Sunday, November 25th.
Wow!
That
right? thing is meaningless to us now that they edit it. Now that they record it and they edit right. out all of the nonsense where they can't hear each other. And so, oh, right. so great.
Merry Christmas. Huh?
What?
What? I said Merry Christmas. Right. Yeah, it comes out Tuesday. What?
That was the best.
Are you enjoying the parade? I
yes.
said, are you enjoying the parade?
Yes. I just got laid. Thank you. It's just like almost that bad. It was.
I loved it.
Whew, it was something. I think about this a lot. When I was a kid, there wasn't social media, and I don't know how much different my life would be now. I know it would have been a lot harder.
Right.
Kids have a lot to deal with right now.
I would have been in a lot more trouble.
Yeah, you would have, for sure.
Uh-huh.
But then I think about celebrity kids and what they have to deal with. Like having to put out statements when you're 14 years old that you and your boyfriend have broken up. I
yeah,
mean,
that sucks.
That's unbelievable.
But do they have to do that?
Well, then they get bombarded with, why aren't you posting about this person anymore? They're going to be asked about it on a red carpet. So why not just get ahead of it, I guess. But
I guess.
Millie Bobby Brown and Jacob Santorius, not sure. He's a kid. He's 15. She's 14. You know her as 11 from, of course, the show that we all used to watch that was fun.
What's that called, Allie?
Stranger Things.
Okay, yes. Just wanted to see if you had it.
Didn't until then.
She didn't right till that
Woo!
Last second.
That was close. But the former couple, who were first romantically linked at the start of 2018, confirmed their breakup in matching Instagram stories.
No!
The decision was Jacob and I was completely mutual. That can't be right.
Mm.
Maybe it is. She's 14. We are both happy and remaining friends. The performers echoed the sentiment with virtually the same statement on each other's page. So, I mean, to be 14 and have to be like, listen, it was pretty much my first heartbreak. Here it is, guys.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
Now, can you all comment on it and let me know your thoughts? Ugh.
That is weird.
That's tough. It's real tough.
And that ain't right.
It ain't right.
Agreed.
We talk a lot about reboots, television shows. Do we need that? And I didn't watch this show growing up, so I wasn't as attached to it. But what do you guys think about a classic TV series that's being rebooted as a feature film? It's called Fantasy Island. It ran between 1977 and 1984. It ran for 7 seasons with 152 episodes.
If I remember correctly, it was super cheesy.
Well, it was Ricardo Montalban. He was the white-suited Mr. Rourke who oversaw a mysterious island where people could live out their fantasies.
And that better be played by Will Ferrell.
For a price. The series often dealt with dark themes and the supernatural. All right. Like, if bad, weird things happen on this island.
That sounds better than it was.
Yeah. Does it really?
Yes.
It was mostly just real cheesy stuff?
Yeah, that's how I remember it, yeah.
Look, before we poo-poo this, is there a role for our friend Brad Williams as the new Tattoo?
Oh, right. Because he passed away, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm down with that, okay. Along with Will Ferrell. I mean, I think Beans on something here.
Our casting, I think, is making this a pretty good movie.
Right.
All right. Suddenly I'm in.
Depends on who they pick, who writes it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be Truth or Dare filmmaker Jeff Wadlow is attached to direct. So who knows? What if we get our buddies that did Deadpool, right? And they write it.
Well, I mean, they're probably busy.
I mean, they're busy. They've got Zombieland. They've got a whole bunch of other stuff.
You want to call them and say, hey, there's a project coming out, and they may not want you as directors, but...
But if you want to pitch yourselves for it, or I can start a campaign during what's happening.
Right.
Just saying. All I'm saying is they make everything better.
You reach out and see if you can make
that happen. I'll do the legwork,
all
Kevin.
Right, good.
Take my money now.
It also means I'll get all the glory.
Sure.
Right?
Yes, you will.
We're going to talk in a little bit about MoviePass. That company is struggling right now. It ain't good. We'll talk about that in just a bit, but some birthdays for you. Rapper, chef, great hair, Coolio. Chuck D, rapper. I don't recall his hair all that much, but I'm sure it's wonderful as well. Jason Momoa, speaking of hair, right?
Right.
Conan the Barbarian. I call him Conan.
Sure.
Oh, Aquaman, right? Lisa Bonet's husband.
Right.
Hot. Come
on,
guys.
We all know who he is. I mean, how excited do you want us to be?
More?
Okay.
It's Jason Momoa. Sam Mendes.
Oh,
director,
Sam Mendes.
Right?
I love him.
American Beauty, Revolutionary Road, Road to Perdition.
He's the best.
And singer of the Counting Crows, Adam Duritz.
Right.
Come on.
I liked a lot of their songs.
August and Everything After still an amazing album. A banger, if you will.
I won't.
It's a lot of
banger. I love the album.
And that's what's happening.
We're going to tell you in about 5 minutes how you can call in and win tickets for our singles party this weekend.
Ooh, 5 minutes from right now?
Yep.
21 and up? Come to Las Vegas with us for the weekend?
Yep.
That sounds good. First, though, how about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for...
I hope Omar is proud of himself for that intro.
I think he loves it. I do too. Throw it on me.
That's so funny. Hey, animal stories in the news. This is a real life Ocean's 8 kind of thing. I'm sure you guys saw this. It was big mainstream news. The shark that was stolen from the San Antonio Aquarium in a broad daylight heist is the word I'm looking for. Did you guys see this story?
I did not.
Oh, this is amazing. Anthony Sinclair Shannon, 38 years old, and two accomplices went into the aquarium in San Antonio and reached into a shark tank. They had one of those, it's one of those kind of interactive places where, you know, it's low and you can kind of reach over it. These are not the sharks that are going to bite you.
Right.
And reached in and picked up this shark and put it into a baby stroller and then hurried up the stairs out to the parking lot and drove away with it.
What?
They stole a shark. a 16-inch long female shark. Anthony Shannon apparently had done recon on this. This is what makes it amazing to me, is a month before he had showed up in a uniform pretending to be there to do salt and water testing because he wanted to be able to walk around and see what all the ins and outs and the angles of the building were and the shark tank and anything like this. So he planned this whole thing out. And then, of course, once they realized the shark was gone, they had him on surveillance, and they thought this shark is not going to survive more than 10 or 15 minutes out of the water.
Right.
Apparently, he knew that. When police finally did track him down and get to his house, not only was the shark alive and fine, but he had a mock-up of the aquarium in his garage.
Holy
crap.
With
lots of different marine animals in the home. He totally knew what he was doing. They thought he was stealing it to try to sell or something because there's a black market for that. Turns out it wasn't the case. He had his own similar shark who had died recently, and he just wanted a replacement. So he went and stole it from the aquarium. It's a horn shark. It's he has been charged, as you can imagine, with all kinds of crimes as a result of this, including felony theft of property worth over $2,500. And he has been arrested. His accomplices not arrested yet, but they have all made a confession that they were in on it. But can you imagine somebody going to an aquarium and just stealing a shark
and impersonating a aquarium worker for recon? That's a lot.
That's something. Yeah,
yeah. It's a weird ass story out of San Antonio.
And
I'll
what
tell
a
you
good
that.
Friend to do it with him, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's the point, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say no if they asked me. A 35-year-old French woman went to the emergency room to report a tingling electric sensation in her legs.
No, nope, I don't.
Which I know, Allie, sounds pretty good so far, depending on the electric sensation. But it also comes with trouble walking. Her name is Marie Jacquier. And she went to the hospital, and she said she had fallen several times. She had a tingling feeling in her legs. It had been progressing, noting that she was even having difficulty riding her horse for the past 3 months. Not a euphemism. They took an x-ray of her spine and revealed a large, round object nestled in her spine, blocking her central nervous system. After they performed surgery to remove the object, what do you think it was?
It has to be a worm or something that got into her.
It
right?
was a tapeworm. In your spine, you guys.
In your spine.
I won't attempt the Latin pronunciation of the tapeworm, but it is commonly known as the dog tapeworm. It is not often found in humans. Once the tapeworm was in her body, it formed a cyst and lodged in her spine. By the way, the woman has not been in contact with a dog as far as she knows. She has a cat. She has contact with cattle, and she rides horses. Does not have a dog in her life. So they are unclear how she was able to get this. But that's not what you expect when you go in and you're saying, hey, I have tingling in my leg, that you have a tapeworm living in your spine.
No.
No, that seems bad.
And finally, this is a story that if Lightning is listening right now, the car enthusiast that Lightning is, this one is going to break his heart or anyone who shares his love for these classic old automobiles. This is a cherry red 1965 289 Shelby Cobra. This man, Tom Cotter of Davidson, North Carolina, and some other car collectors went on a road trip in Alaska. Now, he didn't want to put a lot of... by the way, I might be sneezing here in a second.
All right.
Sorry.
Best.
That's real,
he
everyone.
He didn't want to put too many miles on it, so he flew his car to Alaska and then went on a road trip with other car enthusiasts around the state. Well, one of the people who is traveling in the group, named Woody Woodruff of Charlotte, North Carolina, left a package of Fig Newtons on the passenger seat as they got out of the car one day. And what do you think happens when you have a million-dollar car and you leave it in Alaska with food inside?
I would guess animals want that food.
A bear.
Yeah. A bear.
Tore the crap out of this million-dollar 1965 289 Shelby Cobra. Major rips to the vinyl roof, dents all over the body. The bear broke in just to get the cookies. Mr. Woodruff, who had left the cookies behind, said, I feel kind of bad, but Tom's taking it pretty well. He, by the way, says everything can be fixed. He's hoping that the damages will be paid for by his insurance company. But he says he still had a great time, you know, traveling around Alaska. He says it was the best vacation of his life. And he doesn't seem to bother him too much that he had so much damage on his car.
You think he's covered for if a bear gets in your car?
See, now, I don't know.
What kind of insurance would that be?
That's crazy.
I mean, it is damage to your car that's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I mean, no, it sort of is his fault because he left the food on the seat.
But
in a place where there are animals that want food.
you're not at fault if someone breaks into your car and takes a CD.
True.
Right.
You are at fault for having a CD in your car.
Correct.
I went CD right there.
You sure did.
Or an 8-track, whichever one you want to go with.
Whichever.
I mean, this bear could have broken into a lot of cars, but I love that he picked the million-dollar antique car.
Wow.
That's the best part of that. And this is Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines right now. Kevin and Bean's built this party. Sorry, Kevin and Bean's built this pool singles party. We've got
whatever
your passes.
Whatever it is we built, we want you to be with us.
Exactly. And it's this this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you can go and you're a guy, this is your, we're looking for you, 21 or over. Mm-hmm. Every day we have a different theme. Our theme today is best and worst qualities. Your best quality, your worst quality. Right.
Oof.
And when you call in with your worst quality, don't go, I just love too much. Because we're not going to buy it. We're going to say, beat it, kid.
Right.
Right? So if you're a guy 21 or over, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number.
It's like a job interview, man.
Your best and your worst quality. Call now. We'll talk to you next. We are going to Las Vegas this weekend. Kevin and Bean's built this pool singles party is Friday. And we're looking for guys that are 21 or above. And we're looking for your best and worst quality.
You got to be honest with us, because the ladies need to know what they're in for when they meet you at the scene on the rooftop of the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino this weekend. We're talking about round-trip transportation on the Kevin and Bean Party Bus. We're talking about a two-night hotel stay in the newly renovated rooms at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. By the way, brought to us by The Happy Time Murders, which is going to be in theaters everywhere on August the 24th. So, 1-800-520-1067. Men only this time around. Ladies, we'll do the same question for you later on today. Let's meet, why don't we start with Robert? He is in Palmdale. He is up first on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Robert.
Morning.
So, you're available to go with some friends this weekend and party in Las Vegas with us?
Absolutely.
All right, so ladies are going to meet you at the pool, and you're going to start getting into a conversation. You have to sell yourself a little bit, but also be honest. What are you going to say if they ask what your best quality is?
My best quality would be that I'm pretty funny, pretty laid back.
You're very laid back.
I mean, pretty funny and laid back are not the same thing, though.
Those are two different things.
So stick with one. Which one do you pick?
I like to think of myself as more funny.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I've seen no evidence of that.
All right.
Okay. How about your worst quality, Robert?
Sometimes when I drink too much, I can get kind of annoying. So that's a pretty bad one.
Does Robert sound like a guy to you who goes off when he drinks?
Some people trick you, Bean. They're just the most even keel. Then they get drunk, and you're like, who are you?
It's like a totally different dude.
I think Robert might be that dude.
Okay. All right, Robert, I want you to drink a lot and call us back. Thank you for calling. I don't know. I just didn't get a great vibe on Robert. Did you guys?
No,
but let's, super nice guy.
Let's see what else we have.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Robert may look great in a minute.
Let's go to Anthony in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What is your best quality, Anthony?
Best, I would say, is I'm a nursing student, so I'm compassionate and care about others.
Now,
nice.
A nursing student, I think that is very attractive to ladies, right?
All right.
All right.
Wouldn't you think, Allie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we all respect nurses so much, and you have to be a very special and, as you mentioned, Anthony, very compassionate person for that line of work.
Plus, so the day after the party, you need the IV.
Absolutely.
Bring you back to life.
100%.
All right. What's the downside of being with Anthony?
Let's see. I got pretty bad. Well, not that bad, but a receding hairline at 32 and kind of thinning in the back.
Shave it.
We had that conversation last week, man. You got to just shave it. Seriously.
I remember that.
All right. Well, remember more when you're buying razors. That's what I'm saying, Anthony.
All right. Hold on, Anthony.
All right, Anthony. Anthony sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that.
All right. Let's go to Jimmy at Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're looking for your best and worst quality. What's your best?
I know how to make friends just about anyone.
Very friendly.
Very friendly. Okay.
Okay.
And worst?
Worst is I don't know how to say know when someone needs me.
I'm sorry. Again?
I don't know how to say no when someone needs me.
Oh. It's hard for you to say no.
Okay. Like almost a pushover a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aw.
Jimmy, could you wire me $1,000?
He needs it.
No.
Look, he just said no.
All right, you're lying.
So he's lying.
Okay.
Wow. It sounded pretty easy just listening to you on the phone here, Jimmy. All right. Thank you for the call. By the way, with the exception of Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, do you know many grown men who are still going by Jimmy?
Yeah, my Uncle Jimmy and about five cousins named Jimmy.
Ah. Okay, so Jimmy's a thing. All right.
All right.
Got it. All right, so far we've had Robert, we've had Anthony, we've had Jimmy. We're doing all guys this time around. Same question for you ladies later on today. I think Josh is up next in Santa Clarita.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. We're trying to stock the pool for the Kevin Bean singles party this weekend in Las Vegas. It sounds like you are interested in going, so let's start with your best quality, Josh. What will the ladies be excited to know about you when they meet you?
Well, you know, like I told the guy on the radio, I'm the nicest asshole you'll ever meet. So, I mean, I'm an extremely nice guy.
Okay, so hold on. So we're not doing worst yet. We just asked you for best.
Oh.
And best is nice asshole?
Yeah, I guess
you've
so.
You've got a nice asshole.
We would.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
Well,
Josh being Josh.
And I'll run around naked, you know?
So. Mm.
Well, that's what Built This Pool is all about.
Right.
So it's just weird, as Kevin pointed out, that your best quality involves you being an asshole. That's very weird to me. Okay, now I can't wait to find out your worst quality.
Well, like the last guy, I'm a nice guy, so I get taken advantage of. So that's kind of the worst quality I have.
It's not really a worst quality, is it?
Nope.
Okay. All right, one more. It's going to be William. He's in L.A.
Hey, William.
Hey, what's going on?
Taking calls from guys 21 and above. We're looking for your best quality first.
Best quality, I run for pretty about once every 2 months.
Wow, okay.
And worst quality is that I party too hard right after the race, so... You know, just try to get those cars back up, drink a little bit too much beer, but, you know, it's all in fun.
All right, let me ask you a question, though. If you're going to go to this weekend and you're going to party, are you the guy that's going to pass out, like, 1 hour into it?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah, I love Vegas. Love to party there. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know.
William's worst quality, you guys, in the whole world, is that he rages too hard.
He rages too hard.
That's the worst thing.
I love it about William.
Also, the best thing is that he runs for charity. I mean,
that's great for the ladies. They're going to be very excited to meet you.
He helps with charity. That's good.
Okay.
Okay. By the way, I've been carbo loading myself for 25 years now. When I do finally get around to running that marathon, it is going to be the fastest time ever recorded by humans because I'm going to have so much energy built up.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right.
You're not going to ever run.
But when I do, though,
even a 100-yard dash,
it's going to be like a rocket.
Right. Sure.
I don't know how y'all feel, but I like the Anthony shaving his head if he takes our advice, and then after the weekend in Las Vegas, going back to his job as a nurse. I like him very much.
I like him as well.
He's my vote to join us at the party this week. You agree, Allie?
Yeah.
All right. Let's say hi to our man Anthony in Anaheim.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Don't let me see any hair on your head when I see you Friday.
You won't.
Try to bring three other single guys, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. We will see you on Friday. Newest song from the Revivalists on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That's called All My Friends. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
I think I like that on first listen.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Bigfoot Erotica next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's a thing.
Sure.
Is it?
I don't have to tell Kevin.
Right.
And also, our producer Dave was out in the wild this weekend and had potentially an inflammatory situation when he was questioned by an African-American about a T-shirt that Dave was wearing.
It's on! Race war!
Right?
Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! Shit is going down!
I mean, this guy really, really put Dave's feet to the fire, man. Dave had some splaining to do.
We need to not let Dave out into the wild. I think that's always a mistake.
We will discuss the conversation and find out if Dave did the right thing, or, as I suspect, was the other guy right. So that's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Allie's here with what's happening on a Wednesday.
You guys know singer-songwriter, producer 2Feet, right?
Yes.
He went viral in 2017. He had a song called Go F Yourself. It racked up 4 million streams overnight. He was signed to Republic Records. And this year, his single went to number one on the U.S. alternative chart. You might recognize this song. I feel like I'm drowning. You're holding me down and holding me down. And that was actually one of your songs for,
for That's
our
My Jam
playlist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was a really strange and bad situation last night on Twitter because he posted a devastating suicide note captioned goodbye. It has now been deleted, but it says, "Most of my fans live here on Twitter and Spotify. I want to tell all 12,000 of you that I love you so much. I hope I've helped some of you in some manner. I know it may be odd posting a suicide note on Twitter, but that's the world we live in. I've been completely honest with you forever. Anyway, I love you." And then in the minutes following the post, people started reaching out. People like Bishop Briggs, Marshmello, all saying a variation of, "We love you. Please don't do this. Please reach out to someone. We're trying to call you. Pick up your phone." According to a statement from his family and his team to Billboard, he's alive. He's receiving medical treatment. The family appreciates all the love and concern and requests privacy at this time. But
well, that's good.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
And how terrifying for, you know, not only people that don't know him, but his friends and family that are looking at this that then can't get a hold of him. Oh,
yeah,
he's obviously going through a lot. So we wish him the best and hope he gets whatever help he needs right now. But apparently he is at the hospital. He's alive and getting medical treatment. Yikes.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
That. You want to move on to some good news?
Sure.
Some might say great news.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Ocho, right?
Yeah, ESPN?
Yeah, they do this, I think once a year now. They switch over ESPN2 to what's known as alternative programming for 24 hours. And it's all sports that you may not think of, really, as sports. Like cornhole, Spikeball East, Fenway Hurling Championships.
Fenway Hurling Championships?
Well, it's a series of hurling matches at Fenway Park. You know, hurling.
Hurling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sport where you throw a heavy thing like a shot put?
Sure.
Okay.
Listen, these are alternative sports. I don't have the answers.
Okay.
But they're also going to have two showings of Dodgeball, a true underdog story to bookend the day.
All right, because that's kind of where the Ocho came from.
Yeah,
right?
It's the inspiration behind it all. They're doing it Wednesday, August 8th. So that's when your 24 hours of fun, offbeat programming will begin. Some other things that you could see. This is under the Ouchtown Population You Bro category. The Sky Zone Ultimate Dodgeball Championship, because that takes dodgeball to a new level, because you're doing it on trampolines.
I mean, that sounds awesome.
Oh, my God.
We need to enter.
Absolutely. That sounds
like a blast.
Did you
notice that Ali said that the Ocho is going to be on August 8th? Eighth month, eighth day?
8-8.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Yes.
Yes. They're also going to have world champion major league eating. So after they've eaten, they will have ate. Right? Again, 8. Nope. All right. World Championship of Ping Pong. The Saber Legion 2018 Awakening. That's the world's biggest custom dueling organization, founded in 2015.
I love this.
Highlighting the best in high-level lightsaber combat. Oh, my God! I'm so into this. I feel like we all need to take 8-8 off.
Agreed.
It's a holiday now. And compete.
We need a Kevin and Bean team in every one of those.
I feel like we'd be pretty good at the trampoline dodgeball.
Agreed.
Nice. Yes.
I think it's time for an Ocho Olympics. That's what they ought to be doing. They ought to have some sort of a worldwide competition for all of these sports on off years from the other Olympics.
I like it.
You ain't kidding. Absolutely. What about chess boxing?
I love it. I love
chess boxing. It's a hybrid sport started in 2003 that's designed to test both the body and the mind with 3-minute rounds of each sport for a total of 11 rounds. You hit someone in the noggin, then you play chess. Then you're back to nailing that person by hitting them, and then you're back to playing chess. That's awesome.
And then we should mix that with drink boxing. So you down some beer, you play some chess, you do some boxing.
Yeah.
Right?
Why not?
I can't believe these sports aren't usually on the air. They sound so good.
I don't understand
how you have to wait a whole year for chess boxing.
Yeah. How is there not a permanent Ocho?
Right.
It's a good question.
I know that it's, you know, something special that we look forward to now. Would it be something that we would eventually take for granted?
Did you say that it was Probably. Taking the place of ESPN2?
Yeah, it takes place on ESPN2.
Okay, well, they have a lot of reruns, a lot of SportsCenter reruns. They should just throw it in there.
Okay.
Throughout the day.
All right. I mean,
I need this.
I'm the one that brought it up.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I don't mad at
one week
me. From today, yell at you.
Yeah.
What, Bean?
1 week from today.
Yes.
The Ocho.
Correct.
I feel like we need Ocho correspondence. Right?
I love it.
Just someone watching all 24 hours can let us know what's happening. Hey, J-Lo is going to receive the prestigious Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award at the 2018 MTV Video Music Awards.
I saw that news, and I was surprised because I never think of Jennifer Lopez as being exceptional in making videos. Are her videos great?
I question that as well.
She's
when I heard it.
A great dancer.
Yeah.
She is. She's known as a great performer.
So.
But her videos?
Here's the thing. She's also going to perform for the first time on the show since 2001. That probably helped.
A little trade off.
They were like, hey,
if we
give you
the best
award
we have, yeah.
Will you perform? Right?
Interesting.
Yeah, possibly so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Other winners of the award include Madonna, Guns N' Roses, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Beyonce, Kanye West, Rihanna, and Pink. That show is set to air live from Radio City Music Hall on Monday, August 20th on MTV. Much more coming up in your What's Happening, but for now, some birthdays. Coolio, Chuck D, Jason Momoa, Adam Duritz, Sam Mendes. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave, the King of Mexico, is weak. Time is 7:06.
What?
Dave, the King of Mexico, is weak.
Listen, I just have concerns, man. And I care about other people's feelings.
Do
other
you?
People's
mm-hmm.
thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would like to say, as Dave prepares to tell us about the encounter he had in a shopping mall this weekend, I would like to say that I appreciate that Dave is thoughtful enough to think this issue through and not just have some sort of a knee-jerk reaction because somebody challenged him. I think it's a conversation worth having. Now, you may disagree with the conclusion that Dave came to, but I think I give him a lot of credit for being... For being
scared.
Woke on this topic.
Woke, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Look,
so
I
where
stay
were
woke.
You, Dave?
Listen, so I'm at the Century City Westfield Plaza, and I'm at Smitten Ice Cream, getting my ice cream like I do.
Right.
And I am wearing a NWA t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the great rap act.
The logo with the red square.
Yes,
cursive of the lyrics
yeah.
or the letters at NWA and
NWA,
then what, the picture?
And in the back it says that S is dope, right?
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know. So the gentleman who takes my order is an African American man.
Yeah.
And he looks me up and down, and then asks me, "Oh, are you a fan?" And I totally forgot what shirt I was wearing.
Right.
So I look down and I go, "Yeah."
Now wait,
like,
hold
like
on.
I just start getting defeated.
Then, why were you defeated already?
It felt weird to me.
But
and then
aren't you a fan?
I am a fan.
Okay,
that's the thing.
So why are you embarrassed by that?
I don't know.
Huh.
And I just had this icky feeling.
And why was this guy trying to challenge you publicly, by the way, for the t-shirt that you were wearing, which is not his business at all?
Just get my ice cream.
Yeah.
Beat it, kid.
So he asked me, "You a fan?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "All right, what's your favorite song?" And I'm like, "Well,
okay, this is a test now. This is aggressive."
Right.
It ought to be enough for him that you're a fan and you're not just trying to exploit his culture.
That is bizarre that he follows that up with what's your favorite song.
I get it because we
now you have to write an essay about how NWA changed your life?
No. But, you know, you see people in the Forever 21 catalog wearing NWA shirts You know.
He wants to make sure you're not a poser.
Exactly. So I go, well, what's...
Dave's a poser really on everything.
Wrong.
So, okay.
So I go back and I go, well, you know, a song to sing along to or a song that's hard? And he's all both. I'm like, oh.
Because
so
he doesn't think
out.
You can even name a song.
Yeah. So I go, all right, my favorite song to sing along to is Compton's In This House. And then my favorite song I think that's hard is 100 Miles and Running. And he's like, all right. And then his attitude changed. He's like, yeah, there you go. And then he started
Dave, how long
his.
Did it take you to think of an NWA song title that didn't have the N-word in it?
Oh, my God. That's the thing.
Going down the top tier.
I stalled by saying, what song? Like, what do you mean? What type of song? That's what I was stalling for. And after that, he was like, oh, yeah. And he started giving me his favorite rap
so
track.
He's sort of now you're bonding
so now we're bonding over rap.
All right,
but at the same time I just didn't feel right, and then I started thinking, man, should I be wearing this shirt? at all.
What?
Yes, you should be wearing that shirt.
What kind of question is that? You're now bonding with this guy.
Yes, but, you know, then I realized the shirt, the initials, what they stand for.
Right.
And I was like...
You knew that before.
I did.
Yeah.
But then when I'm seeing it in real life, interacting with other people, mm-hmm. I'm like, should I be wearing this shirt?
But
especially what these initials
the
stand for.
Yeah, that's the name of the band. It's not like that's what people just call them.
Do you like the band?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Wear the shirt.
But
that's it.
But those words,
that's all.
You know, it's
their words that they named their band that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
But I still didn't feel appropriate wearing it.
Okay, but let me ask, in Dave's defense here, Kevin, they named the band that. There's a band out there called Holocaust Denier. If I wear that t-shirt, is that cool because that's what they named the
band?
That's
very different, though.
No, no, it's not. Am I making a statement by saying it's okay to say Holocaust Denier?
Denier, yeah.
No, that's a very different thing. You're denying a part of history that happened. This is just the name of their band.
But that's just the name of a band, is what I'm saying.
I understand.
It doesn't mean that I endorse what they represent. It means I'm a fan of that band. Can I wear that t-shirt? I think that's what Dave's saying is, look, he likes the band, but he's uncomfortable even having the N from the N-word on his shirt as a non-African-American
person. Even though I love the band, I love all the artists on it, you know, and it just felt icky to me.
I see where Dave's coming from.
I don't, because once Dave was able to name the songs, everything was great, and they had a better relationship rapport than they would have if the guy didn't even bring it up.
Did he give you, like, a bigger scoop?
No.
That's the actual question.
I don't like that
the ice cream guy was trying to embarrass you. As you're a customer in his store, and he's trying to put you on the spot to make you prove you're a fan to him. I think his behavior was offensive.
It sounds racist.
Thank you, sir. I agree. All right. Before we go to our special caller on the line, I think Dave can absolutely wear the t-shirt and not think another thought about it. Allie, your thoughts?
I think you're being a little bitch. Shut up.
Kevin, how about you?
Same. 100% wear the shirt.
So we're all on the same page. Let's go to our good friend Jensen Karp. He is on the line. He's the Kevin Amin hip-hop correspondent. He has been listening to this discussion. Jensen, we have not spoken with you at all about this off-air. We have no idea what you think about any of the details that have been revealed, but we'd like to hear from you, please.
Number one, whenever anyone talks about cultural appropriation, my phone just rings. Call it in.
They're not even calling you.
You're in. If you talk about cultural appropriation, I have to weigh in as a white male from Los Angeles. So I appreciate that.
Of course.
First, I want to say I love the idea that he feels he's being called out by a black dude in Century City.
At an ice cream shop.
At an ice cream shop.
Real hardcore life you're living.
Word.
Okay. So number one, you have to look at the way NWA has used the term over the years, which is one, they wanted to take the term back. It was not like it's not like I started a band called KKK and then just subversively had people wear the t-shirt. That was their mission, to basically have a white guy or a Mexican dude wear those shirts and take the term back. But I wouldn't wear an NWA shirt.
Is
Thank
that
you.
Right?
Thank you.
I wouldn't. And
because
I've worn Ice Cube shirts. I've worn, I even had an Eazy-E shirt when I was a kid. But I just kind of think it was a term I never felt. Because they even used the term flipped backwards on one of their album, one of their album titles was it flipped backwards. Uh-huh. And that was an album title I just avoided saying. I just never felt fully comfortable. But also I want to say this. Even though I would never wear the shirt, I actually think you're living in a world of white guilt, Dave, because I don't even think he's bringing up racial. I think he thinks you're being just a poser.
Yeah. I think if you see, like, a 10-year-old wearing a Zeppelin shirt, you're like, come on, dude.
What's your
favorite Zeppelin song?
Right?
No, what's your favorite song?
Yeah.
Like, in real life, I don't think he was even bringing up the N-word, but that was you.
Yeah, and I get that.
So the guy,
I kind of get the guy at the
ice cream shop was not making it racial at all. Dave made it racial by white guilt.
Yeah, no. Just that the fact that, and I believe you in that too, and I think that as well, but that got me thinking of, should I even be wearing this shirt when I started discussing it with him?
Are they a band that you love?
Yes.
Jensen, are they a band that you love?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you?
I just don't, because if in the long scheme of things, I just kind of think it's disrespectful in a way that I think that I just don't think it's something I want on my shirt, because I avoid it at all costs. I've been a rap fan since I was 7 years old, so it's just something that I am very careful of. But then again, I wouldn't wear a Vanilla Ice shirt either, so I don't know. Maybe it's both sides.
Yeah, so guys, I think I think I'm out. I think I'm going to give it away.
You're out on the NWA shirt.
Yeah. Okay,
give it to Kevin because he wants to wear it with his hood.
So if you want an NWA shirt, be caller 20 now.
No, nope. We're not giving it away. It's not happening, no. So Jensen doesn't either. That's shocking.
Yeah. Kevin, you want it?
But Jensen never did. Mm-hmm. And Dave wore it up until this.
I wore it once, by the way.
This interaction.
That was the one time I wore it. I just got it, wore it. Now I'm going to just put it away.
I think that's crazy. I'll take it.
All right.
Sure.
I mean, what was the Dave, did you say what the context of the shirt is? Is there a photo of them? Is there anything else?
No, it's just NWA, and then in the back of the shirt it says, "That S is dope."
Because I thought if the back said, "I'm a racist," that would be a problem.
Don't forget, we want you and your friends to have a free Gorillaz concert, a 2019 Honda Fit new car, and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. It's all part of the new limited edition K-Rock Gorillaz sticker at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. And mugs today, by the way, is going to be at the Hot Topic in Torrance from 1 till 3 with lots of other great prizes. We'll talk to them about that later. But definitely go to KROQ.com, get all the details, and win the stuff.
All right. I think I want to start with...
Well, maybe it's a good time for me to mention that parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
You think so? You think Bigfoot erotica is something we need to keep the kids away from?
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers. Please ask your children to leave the room.
We're about to discuss an issue that may not be suitable for children. In fact, it probably is not. And I want to give you an opportunity to turn down the volume.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right, I think that's enough. I think we got the warning out there.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm done. Go ahead.
This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive viewers. Parental discretion is advised.
Okay, now.
Okay, go ahead. Now.
A warning, some of what you're about to see and hear is explicit.
All right. This time, go ahead. I'm done.
Okay.
We must warn you. Some of the subject matter of this story is on the mature side.
Okay, now I think we've definitely gotten the warning.
All right.
Bigfoot.
The following program contains mature content. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm done now. Go ahead.
Come on.
Go ahead. You do it.
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line. If you are not, hang up now.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Bigfoot erotica.
Parental discretion is advised.
I swear to God, Kevin.
The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
By the way, that was needed.
That was a good
ending. That's this time around.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now let's stop for real.
Okay. Go ahead.
I know.
If you have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent.
Right?
A really bad parent. You are seriously f***ed up.
Right?
You with your illegitimate kids and your bad judgment and whatnot.
All right, go ahead. Are we ready to go now?
Sure.
But I got to warn you. This is a warning. Warning alert.
Okay, we are warned. Thank you.
It's a warning alert.
The following conversation may contain dialogue of a sexual nature, violence, or bestiality. It may also include content unsuitable for any human being, including talk of a dirty Sanchez, a hot Carl, a Cleveland steamer, or a donkey punch. Parental discretion is advised.
All right, go ahead.
Should I even try it again, Allie?
I don't.
Or is the bad man going to interrupt?
I mean, we're almost out of time.
I know, we're almost out of time.
All right, I'm done.
It's a real thing.
I'm done.
Politics.
Pure discretion.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just wondering, maybe this isn't a suitable subject for the children.
Right. Politics has gotten out of control, you guys. And just when you think you've figured out who the white supremacists are so you can avoid voting for them, now you have to worry about which candidates for Congress are into Bigfoot erotica. This is
Bigfoot erotica.
This is a real story that's in the news about an actual race going on for the U.S. House of Representatives in Virginia. Leslie Coburn, or Cockburn, depending on how you choose to pronounce it, is the Democrat for Virginia's 5th Congressional District, and she has accused her Republican opponent, Denver Riggleman, of being a Bigfoot erotica enthusiast.
Now, when you say Bigfoot, we are talking about Sasquatch. Not Big Feet.
That's right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, he may have a foot fetish as well, but no. This is the big old Chewbacca-looking animal that runs through the woods. Right. So she says he's been exposed as a devotee of Bigfoot erotica, and she has included on her social media screenshots of posts from her opponent's Instagram page showing all sorts of Bigfoot art, by the way.
And by the way, one of them is he replacing Bigfoot's head with his own.
Yes!
I mean, that's pretty good.
One of them has his face on Bigfoot's body! Also drawings of Bigfoot with his genitals obscured by a sensor bar.
It's a
huge sensor bar.
It is huge. He is, it's not fair to say, look, I don't know anything about his policies. He could be the right man for the job. I don't know. He owns a craft beer distillery. He's a former Air Force intelligence officer, but he is a Bigfoot aficionado.
Okay. He's also been caught on camera campaigning with white supremacists.
Oh, he's a white supremacist too. That's true.
Yeah, let's not say he could be a great candidate.
Okay.
But when you say he's into Bigfoot, that's a different thing than Bigfoot erotica.
Yes. He has written a book called Mating Habits of Bigfoot.
Can I get involved?
and break some off for daddy?
And where to meet them?
he wrote a book called Bigfoot Exterminators Incorporated, The Partially Cautionary, Mostly True Tale of Monster Hunt 2006.
Well, that's a terrible title.
Yeah, it's too long.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a terrible title. That's true. So now his opponent is trying to use this against him as saying, because he's into some freaky stuff, he's no good as a candidate. He can't represent you in Congress.
Why not just stick with white supremacists?
You would think.
Because that's not enough these days.
Not for that party, it doesn't seem.
Plus, white supremacists plus Bigfoot erotica.
Here's the thing. A lot of people are like, now I'm starting to like him. He's into some weird crap. I'm digging him.
It makes sense that a white supremacist should be enough to kill it, but the president will come out, I guarantee, and endorse this Republican for his office, despite the fact that he's white supremacist. He's done it for a dozen other candidates already so far.
Right.
So we started thinking about the Bigfoot erotica, by the way. And I don't know if you've seen all the other books that are out there about Bigfoot, Kevin.
This is a thing, people.
It is a big thing.
So now we'd like to leave the political part of the conversation behind us and move into Bigfoot erotica.
Bigfoot erotica
is a thing.
Listen to some of the books that are available, by the way. Author Ann Probe wrote a book called Boffing Bigfoot. Candy Banger was an author who wrote the highly acclaimed book Bigfoot's Gay! ! Robin Blackbird, I can't really say this title. It's about Bigfoot being behind Miss Blackbird.
What is happening?
And I liked it.
And you liked it, Bean?
No, that's the name of the book.
Okay,
that's the name of the book.
Gotcha. Bean's like, I liked it.
Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him is another book that's available. So there's a lot of Bigfoot porn out there.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
How what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the why come?
Right?
I don't understand how – look, you can't stop what you're turned on by.
Right.
And we've had that discussion many times over the show. People can't even explain sometimes why it is they're attracted to a thing. But I think we need to hear from some of our listeners on if you love Bigfoot like the congressman does, we want to hear from
you.
Like
we all do.
But we're opening up to other things that are maybe a little bit unusual that turn you on.
Yeah, when you tell people this, they are very surprised by it because they didn't know it existed. Or you don't tell people about it.
Right.
One or the other.
And by the way, and we'll take your calls on the weird fetishes, the oddball things that turn you on. That's the topic on the table. 1-800-520-1067. How long into a relationship do you think you bring up, hey, I'm really into sexy time Bigfoot?
I think you never say the word sexy time Bigfoot, first of all.
Yeah. Are you doing a favor for somebody if you just get it out there on the first date so you let them know so they don't waste their time with you if they're not into it? Or is that the type of thing you have to wait until you've got a real good, solid relationship and it can sustain that kind of news?
I don't think you talk about all your kinks on your first date, ever.
Usually you don't build up to that.
But I would also say it seems like it may be a bit of a deal breaker.
Really?
I would think it may be.
Nah.
Allie's good with it.
I'm just saying, if somebody was like, listen, I dig Yetis and I like Yeti porn. All right, cool, awesome. I won't shave.
You ready for dessert?
Yeah, what do you need me to do?
I like Bigfoot. And I cannot lie.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. What's the freaky porn or thing that you are into? Can be Bigfoot, can be whatever you got. We want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
I like Bigfoot, and I cannot lie.
All right, just had a lovely the band. Let's take one phone call, and let's make it Allison, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Allison.
Hi, guys.
For folks who are just joining us, we were talking about Bigfoot erotica, which is suddenly in the news because of a congressional race in Virginia, and it just got us on the topic of weird things that people are into. Do you have one, Allison?
Yes, I'm about to out my friend, so I'm breaking some serious girl code.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So she was dating this guy for 2 years, and he finally broke up with her because she discovered his weird fetish.
And it was?
He is only into girls who are amputees.
Any particular limb or limbs need to be missing?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
You know what's weird, though, is that most people, they have a bunch of different interests. This guy was only into women that were amputees?
Strictly, and she did not fit the bill.
I was going to say, was she an amputee, but she wasn't?
No, she was not.
Every night she went to sleep, she was laying there with one eye open.
Right?
To make sure she had all of her limbs. That sounds terrible.
I mean, look, I know you want to judge because he broke up with your friend, but I mean, the guy was looking for a spinner, you know? that wasn't going to happen with your friend.
I mean, I don't want to shame him. Amputee girls need love, too. But
exactly.
Why be out here on these dating websites, like, dating normal girls for 2 years when, like, this is your thing? Like,
yeah.
You live your life.
You should just download the Stumpy app and get on with it.
Oh,
isn't that
love.
The site? That's the site, right? The app?
I'm sure it is, yes.
Allison, you are awesome. Thank you for violating your friend's privacy by sharing this story with us. We appreciate it very much, and thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. What are you into? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
I like Bigfoot, and I cannot lie.
Sure. Hey, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to be talking to the director of a U2 fan movie, a movie made by U2 fans for U2 fans called Dream Out Loud. Very interesting topic on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, fetishes in the news of a sexual variety, Bigfoot erotica. Look it up. You don't want us to play the warnings again. So we're taking your calls on kinky things that you or people you know are into. And as I mentioned, we're not judging here. You really have no control over what you're turned on by.
It's possible we're judging.
Maybe we're a little judging.
Okay.
But 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Doug, for instance, line 3. Doug's a perfect example of one that, you know, it's certainly not everybody's taste, but it's not unheard of as well.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, morning.
Morning. Strange erotica.
Pregnant women.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I said, yeah.
Pregnant women.
How pregnant?
Oh, you know, far along.
Far along, okay.
Well-known pregnant.
And are you able to act on this case?
Yeah, because almost always they're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me make this clear. My pregnant wife. Let's do that.
Okay, very different.
Okay, yeah, very different. Yes. And very common. People are attracted to their pregnant wife. But are you also attracted to other pregnant ladies that aren't, you don't know?
Maybe, you know.
Maybe now you will be.
Yeah,
right?
I think Doug is coming to grips with what he didn't even realize until he picked up the phone this morning.
Can you imagine him in the delivery room going, oh, we had a baby. You were so attractive.
Damn it. When I used to do
it's
the misconnections.
It's different when it's my pregnant wife.
Sure.
Because I'm like, I did that to you.
Okay.
Well, she played a part.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
That's you couldn't do, okay. And remember, Doug, you couldn't do it without her either.
Yeah.
Okay,
when
that's
I did
important.
The misconnections, that was a very common one.
It was.
A guy on almost every single page would say, I saw you at Target. I'd like to rub your big belly with lotion. It was very bizarre.
All right.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doug. I hope the pregnancy goes on for 15 months just for you. Let's go to Judy, line 5, please. Pico Rivera up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's Rudy.
Rudy.
I'm sorry.
Hello,
can
Rudy.
You put Judy on the phone for us, Rudy?
Yeah, this is Rudy from Pico Rivera.
All right. Go ahead. You're attracted to what?
I love a nice-sized longha. And I don't like to call it a love handle. It has to be a longha. I like it to
slightly stick out when they're wearing like a nice blouse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like how it jiggles a little bit when they walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get down to business, I like to put one hand on one side of that and one hand on the other.
So, like a muffin top?
I like it to stick out of the side. Yeah, not so much a muffin top, but yeah. I mean, the first thing I look at is the face. I mean,
sure.
They gotta be pretty and stuff, and then they got a love handle. It's just a plus.
Okay.
All right.
So, when it shakes.
So not fat, but, you know, could stand to lose a few pounds to be a conventional beauty.
I like the slight imperfection because it just makes it seem so much real.
All right.
Okay.
So much more real.
All right.
There's our friend Rudy who can't. Exactly. All right. Very good, Rudy. I appreciate the call. Well, there's plenty to choose from. All right. Let's try Jeff, line one, Altadena. This is an interesting one, especially since he's calling about the sexual desires of his mother.
What? Oh, you love your mom like that?
That's
Jeff?
Gross.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. Jeff, what can you contribute for us?
Not about my mom and me.
Oh.
Of course.
Okay.
That would be disgusting.
Right.
Right. Nice.
It's not us doing it, by the way. It's you. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, she confessed to me and my brothers a few years ago that she found Osama bin Laden sexy.
Okay, now there's two ways this could go. One is she's just attracted to him because of his looks, just his physical appearance, and she would like other guys who look like him. But the other more disturbing and unusual thing is she is attracted to the fact that he is evil incarnate, and that somehow is a turn-on because he's forbidden.
Which is it, Jeff? Which is your mom?
Yeah, that's a good call. She's never dated a guy who resembled OBL. May I call him OBL?
I mean, you already did, yeah, so yeah,
did.
Go ahead. OBL.
I'm just trying to shorten this up.
Sure.
And she's not really into the dangerous type. I really couldn't wrap my head around it, especially because she's Jewish, and that really disturbed me.
All right.
He's not a very attractive individual, in my humble opinion.
Okay. Well, listen, have fun at Thanksgiving this year. And just go ahead and bring that up at the table, get some more information, give us a call back.
All right. Thank you for the call. One more? Do we have time for one more?
I don't. Do we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Kat in Riverside. Hi.
Hi.
Oh.
What have we done, Kat? We've disappointed you.
I like to watch my husband have sex with other women.
Very common, of course. Common fetish.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Sure.
There's a lot of that out there.
Okay.
And what's your address?
Oh, no.
Why, you want to get with her husband, Kevin?
Yes, absolutely.
Look.
I didn't quite understand.
That was very weird that you would be asking for an address in this case. Her husband doesn't like to watch her have sex with other dudes. Kat, is it working for you guys? Is everybody involved consenting and having a good time?
The one time we did it, it was fun.
All right, more
fun.
More power to you. Have fun, and please send that address along to Kevin.
It is 7:51.
That means it's Allie time.
It is Allie time, but really, it's you time. If you are a Star Wars fan, you want to listen up, because I want to send you to the Hollywood Bowl to see Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back in concert. You guys, it's happening on August 11th. Here's the thing. They're doing A New Hope August 7th and 10th, and Empire Strikes Back August 9th and 11th. You're going to watch Star Wars on the Bowl's spectacular HD screen while John Williams' iconic score is performed live by the Los Angeles Philharmonic and conducted...
What is the attraction of Star Wars? Who can say?
And conducted by David Newman. It is a blast. If you have never been to one of these, let alone the Star Wars one, it is so fun.
You have to dress up.
You should dress up at a party. I heard the other day, I think I was listening to our good friend Jimmy Pardo's podcast, and he was talking about this event. He says that John Williams has never played the complete score for Star Wars or for The Empire Strikes Back at a concert before. Played pieces, bits and pieces, as he does his greatest hits from all of his movies. But this is going to be a first for the great John Williams as well.
Well, no, because it's just his score. They do this a lot.
Oh, he's
not
going to be
directing. No, it's the Philharmonic. Yeah, with David Newman. It's okay. No, it's okay.
It's still cool.
It's
very cool.
So bitchin'. Let's take callers 10 and 11 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get a pair of tickets to Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back in concert at the Hollywood Bowl on August the 11th. It is a blast.
That is fun.
Everybody has their lightsabers and I want to go. Is essentially
that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
that's
right?
What I'm saying. Guys, the highest paid DJs in the world. We've got top 15 here. Who do you think is the highest paid DJ?
Calvin Harris. Just Allie makes his guess.
It's more Chad.
Calvin Harris. It's got to be Calvin Harris. It's always Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris, for 6 years in a row, the highest paid DJ. How much do you think he makes a year?
A year. Boy, that's so tough. 30 million?
Bean?
I think that's a real good guess, but I'm going to say 60 million.
It is $48 million a year. And again, highest paid DJ in the world for 6 years in a row.
What about DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince?
No, but he's a turntablist and he should be up there. He's actually doing stuff. Don't make me get angry. Who else?
Zed?
Zed came in number 6 at $22
million. All right. How about Martin Garrix?
Martin Garrix, absolutely. Young man making $13 million. He came in at number 10.
Number 10?
Mm-hmm.
Marshmello?
Marshmello came in at number 5, $23 million. Maybe give Krista that works for you a raise, if you know what I'm saying, Marshmello, right? Spread the love. She works her ass off.
Big he is anymore, but I know we're playing the new Skrillex song. Is he still making that kind of money?
He is not top 15.
How about Steve Aoki?
Steve Aoki is number 4.
Both of us can't say it.
Nope. Steve Aoki, $28 million. Most of that in cake. Yeah.
But then he just gives the cake away.
He does.
What's the point of that? Who's that guy with the plays the records? The guy.
Oh, that's a good question.
On stage.
None of these guys.
He's playing. Right. Who's the guy who hits the button on his laptop? Mm-hmm. Tiesto.
Yes, number 3 with $33 million.
Tiesto.
Right.
I think it's mostly, isn't it mostly these guys that have residencies in Vegas?
Residencies, and I think a lot of it is probably producing money too.
Yeah, true. Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, who do we miss? Who are the big ones we should have thought of?
By the way, we did pretty good on this.
You did pretty good.
Yeah.
Number 15, Afrojack, $10
million. Okay.
14, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike.
Okay.
Yep, $10 million. DJ Snake, mm-hmm. $11
million. I wouldn't have thought that much. Okay.
Yeah. Number 12, Kygo.
Okay.
Kygo? I feel
yeah,
like
I think
that's
it's Kygo.
A...
KYGO, right?
Yeah, isn't that just a food truck or no? That's $11.5 million. Number 11, Axwell and Ingrosso, $12
million. Sure.
Number 10, we said Martin Garrix. Number 9, Cascade.
Oh, how could we not think of Cascade?
I
love him.
Dumb.
$13.5 million.
We're dumb.
Sure. Number 8, David Guetta.
Guetta, yeah.
Whatever.
Of course.
$15
million. Yes.
Number 7, Diplo.
Sure. Diplo. What would Diplo say?
What would Diplo say? He'd say, thanks for the $20 million. Number 7. Oh. Number 6, you mentioned Zed. Number 5, Marshmello. 4, Stevie Aoki. 3, Tiesto. Number 2, you didn't get.
We didn't get number 2.
Well, and who are we forgetting then?
Oh,
Paris Hilton.
I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Oh, who's the
Paulie Shore?
Paulie D.
Paulie D. Paulie D's got to be number 2.
Absolutely not.
Who are we not thinking about?
I didn't know that these guys were DJs.
Okay.
Oh, Swedish House Mafia.
No.
Oh.
The Chainsmokers.
Oh, sure.
Oh, Chainsmokers.
Yeah. I just think of them as...
artists. Yeah, singers. Sing. Performers, yeah.
Yeah, $45.5 million. And, of course, again, Calvin Harris, number 1 at $48 million. But if you want to see, like, real DJing, I mean, check out, like, a Newmark from Jurassic 5.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the Beat Junkies.
Right.
Check out a Z Trip. I mean, these are turntablists. They're actually doing stuff up there. They're not like, boop, play, suckers. Look at my hands in the air. I'm not doing nothing. Boop, boop. Just saying. Guys.
I mean, they may be good, but they're not making $48 million a year.
I know. Because people are bad and like dumb stuff. Kevin, that's not true.
I didn't say that, though. You did.
I know, you did.
Right.
20th Century Fox is in the early stages of developing a prequel to the 1993 baseball comedy, The Sandlot.
All right.
We were just talking about this movie yesterday because we still say, "You're killing me, Smalls."
Sure.
In everyday life.
"You're killing me, Smalls."
Yes. The original director and writer are scripting the project. This could actually happen, you guys. Don't you want to know what happened before they went out there?
I mean, not really.
Summer of 1962.
Not really, but I would watch it.
Such a cute movie. By the way, that movie was made for $7 million and grossed $33 million, followed by super strong VHS and DVD sales. I feel like it's a cult hit, right?
It is.
Sure,
definitely.
It is, yeah.
They show it in my cult. We all lay down for the night. We have Kool-Aid. We watch The Sandlot. Okay. I'm not in a cult, you guys.
She's in a cult.
Birthdays for you: Sam Mendes, Jason Momoa, Coolio, Chuck D, and Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows, and that's what's happening.
Going to Las Vegas. It's this weekend, you guys. Couple of days. Kevin and Bean built this pool singles party at the Scene on the rooftop of the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino this weekend. Now, earlier, we hooked the guys up with the tickets. This time around, we're looking for ladies 21 and up. You and some friends come with us on the bus, spend the weekend for free in Las Vegas, transportation and accommodations at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino.
Usually we give away a pair of tickets, but this is four tickets. So it's you and three friends.
How about that? What is the – every day we have a different topic, different way in. What are we looking for this time around?
We are looking for your best quality and your worst quality. You need to tell us both about yourself, your best quality and worst quality.
And then we hire you to work at K-Rock?
Yes, correct.
Tell us your job interview question.
No, so then they tell us that, and then we'll pick the best one, and they will be going with us on Friday.
Because let's face it, there are going to be a lot of guys there, and they're going to, you know, why are you a great addition to the party? What is it they'll love about you? And then in the interest of honesty, what's the nightmare aspect of you as well? I want to know. So we can give the guys a heads up. So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Ladies, 21 and up right now. Does anyone have handy the tweet we got from a listener who tipped us off to the new U2 fan movie?
I do.
What is her name, please?
Her name is Michelle Bernheim.
Mm-hmm. And what did Michelle tell us?
She tweeted all of us separately, which was smart because some of us aren't great at Twitter. She wrote, "Hello, I'm helping David Barry, who has produced a fantastic U2 fan DVD. I'm even interviewed. And he has a screening on August 11th. Can we get him on the air with Kevin and Bean?" And then included the whole release of what the movie's all about. So thank you, Michelle.
We had not heard about David Barry's movie, but he is the director of Dream Out Loud, and we know we have lots and lots and lots of longtime U2 fans listening who maybe haven't heard about it as well, so we want to shine a spotlight on it. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Our pleasure, and thanks again to Michelle for letting us know about your film. August 11th, you have a screening at Raleigh Studios at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale for dreamoutloudfilm.com, and I'll say that name again at the end of the interview. I know you've told the story many times before, David, but we have to ask, how did it all start? How does somebody come up with the idea to make a movie not about the band U2, but about the fans of U2?
I was in Anaheim at a U2 show in 2001, during the Elevation Tour, and it was the first time I was ever on the floor for a U2 show. I'd been a fan since 1982, and I was standing next to some teenagers they were just so excited to hear Beautiful Day. They had never heard anything off the Joshua Tree, never heard Sunday Bloody Sunday.
That was the only song they knew from U2.
Yeah, and they were as excited as I was. They just couldn't believe they were going to get a chance to hear Beautiful Day. And I thought, you know what? This is turning into a generational thing. There's a story here. And then for the next 16 years, I was trying to figure out how to make it. And finally, last year with their 30th anniversary tour, decided, you know, it's time, we need to just go and do this.
How about that? That's so interesting. So did you travel with the band and go to lots of different shows and interview lots of different people? Or just every time they came through Southern California, you went and took a camera?
No. We went out went to 25 cities around the country following the tour. We weren't really, you know, traveling with the band, of course. We were traveling on our own, but we went to 25 different cities and interviewed 200 fans from 25 nations, literally. It's a huge cross-section of the U2 fan
interesting
community.
And early on, or at any point during the process, did the band catch wind of it? And if so, were they cooperative with you?
Yes, Bono's actually in the film. He was kind enough and found the time to do an interview with us. They've been very helpful as they can be. They're four of the busiest guys, you know, I've ever seen. But,
true.
Yes, they've been as helpful as they can be.
Okay. And what did you learn? I mean, you know how you feel about the band and what they mean to you. Did you find that your feelings were common among other U2 fans, or does everybody kind of come to the group from a different angle?
I think it's both, actually. There's a commonality that people share about their music, and it seems to be that people find a lot of hope in U2's songs and community. But they do come from all walks of life. You find people from different types of jobs, different countries, different experiences. So it's really a very interesting mix of people that show up at a U2 show now.
It's rare to have a band that apparently you interviewed people from the ages of 12 to the age of 74. It's hard to have a band that actually has that much of an audience.
It is. And what's interesting is the 12-year-old is a young boy named Paco from Mexico City. And he is just as into the band and excited about seeing them as somebody like me or even the 74-year-old who still actually does the GA line and gets up against the railing at shows to be able to be right up
there. Is that right?
Love
That's
it.
Awesome.
Yep.
Wow.
Is U2 one of those bands that people follow on the road? But sure, you love the band. You always go see them when they come to town. But are there a lot of people like we used to hear about with the Dead who just they kind of plan their lives around going to see U2?
Yes, there are. There's a lot of people who travel. Typically, when U2 goes on tour now, people will try and see as many shows as they can because, you know, we don't know how many more tours they'll do, right? So you get a lot of guys who want to see them, you know, as many times as they can. But I know guys who've seen U2 100 times. There's one fan from the UK that will be going to his 200th show in Dublin in November.
Holy crap! 200!
So these are people that have grown up with them, you know, have been there since the very beginning, and it's been a part of their entire lives.
He's aware there are other bands, right?
Oh, of course.
I just want to check, make sure he knows that, like, Bruno Mars exists and stuff.
It becomes far more about the community and the friends and things like that than just the music of the band.
I will say this about U2. There are very few bands that can make average songs sound fantastic when they're live, and U2 is one of those bands. They always sound so much better live than they do in any other way.
They do. When they're live, that's where their music lives for sure. And, that's really what captures people, is that
all right, we're talking to
with them.
Exactly. You're right, David. We're talking to David Berry. He is the director. Again, the film is called Dream Out Loud. There is a screening coming up on Saturday, August 11th. That's a week from Saturday at the Raleigh Studios. You can buy your tickets at dreamoutloudfilm.com. Before we say goodbye, and I'm so grateful for you to take the time to come on, what are the plans for the movie after the screening? I understand you've toyed around with it a little bit on streaming it on Facebook. Is it the plan a DVD release or a streaming release on Apple or what?
So right now, we've just actually given the film to the band. We want to see if there's anything they want to do first. After that, we'll look into, you know, distribution through streaming online, DVDs, broadcast. But we're giving it to them first to see if there's anything they want to have done with it.
Got it. Well, congratulations. As a lifelong U2 fan, you spent 16 years working on this movie. It is a testament to your tenacity that it is finally coming out. And we appreciate you sharing your story with us for other U2 fans here on K-Rock.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dad. All right, next.
How about that?
Right?
Fun.
Right?
Right.
If you haven't seen U2 live, seriously, it's one of those things that you have to do in your life at least one time.
Agreed.
I got to tell Bono that the Joshua Tree tour that they wrapped up, last summer, was one of the most moving experiences of my life. I get choked up thinking about how beautiful it was.
Yeah, it's a religious experience for sure. All right, Natalie, please hang on. Laura, hang on. All the rest. We do still have a line open if you'd like to join us. If you are a woman, 21 and up, you're free this weekend to join us in Las Vegas with some friends. We're talking about the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party. We're asking you, what's your best quality and what's your worst quality? Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give somebody tickets next on K-Rock. All right. We're having some trouble with our telephone lines here this morning, and I apologize to the listeners who, right as that song ended, got disconnected. That's not what we wanted at all.
I mean, it's not ideal. Mm-mm. So if that's what we're saying.
Call right back, okay? 1-800-520-1067. Women, 21 and up, we want to know your best and your worst quality. If you can join us in Las Vegas this weekend, call right back. We'll get to you at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about you and three friends getting access to the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party. I want to see some naked dudes. At the scene on the rooftop of Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino this weekend with round-trip transportation, two-night hotel stay at the newly renovated rooms at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. And it's brought to us by Happy Time Murders, the most outrageous R-rated comedy of the summer hitting theaters August 24th. It's all Sesame, no street, you know, or the other way around. I'm not sure. I can't remember which it is.
All street, no Sesame.
That's right. Yes. Yes. All right, let's get to Natalie. She's on line one to get us started, shall we?
Hey, Natalie.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for listening. Hi, thanks for calling. How are you?
Thanks. Doing pretty well this morning.
Good. All right. So we are looking for single ladies, 21 and up. That's you, right?
That's me.
All right. When the boys meet you at the party this weekend, what are they going to discover is the best thing about Natalie?
My best and my worst quality, I'd have to say, is the same. It's my binge drinking.
Binge drinking is your the best thing about
you. I am responsible most of the time. I never drink. I'm just focused on doing what I got to do in life. But when I decide I'm going to drink, you know, it's one of those things. But it's my best quality because I always manage to get home in bed in PJs.
Right.
Water bottle next to bed and all that.
Okay.
Pictures. All done.
All right.
So, you know, you got to get pictures. You got to get it all. You got to get all of it.
Sure.
Are you a fun drunk, Natalie?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Natalie's the female version of me.
I'm like, yeah. Nice little party. Me and my best friend. I have a best friend. I have to say, Leslie. I have to call her out. She's
all right.
The angel. And, all right. You know, we go out, we party, and we have fun.
All right. Well, if you win, you'll be able to bring three other people. Okay?
Oh, nice. Yeah, yes. Of course.
All right. Say no more, Natalie. We are intrigued. Thanks, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a minute. If you win, let's try Rosita, line two. This is going to be Melissa up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Melissa.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. How are you today?
Great. I am perfect.
What is the best quality about you?
So, I'm pretty hilarious.
Okay.
My worst is that I might be a stage 5 or 6 clinger yet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
But I think if you're able to actually admit that, you're probably not.
Yeah, you're still stage 4.
Okay, maybe. Maybe I'm on the right track.
All right.
Well, okay. I'm like a social media type of lurker.
Okay.
Lurker. That's a good word.
Lurker is the word you use.
And I think lurking's fine. You're doing some recon. No big deal.
Sure. Yeah. Or call it recon.
Okay. For some research.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank
all right,
you.
Crazy Melissa. Hold on.
She sounded fun, didn't she?
Agreed.
Line three, please. North Hollywood. Let's say hi to Cecilia. That's a great name. You don't hear that often anymore. Cecilia, what's going on?
Hi, Kevin, Bean, and Allie.
How are you?
A wonderful night. I'm speaking with you. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you. What's the best quality about you?
Oh, my gosh. My best quality that I think I have is I consider myself charming and funny and can really have great conversation with someone. And I feel like it takes me a long way. My worst is if the date's not going well, if I'm not feeling it or whatever, it's been all over my face. And no matter how much I try to hide it, it's all right here.
Mm.
It's not having it.
So I understand what you're saying. Yeah. So they're going to know if you're boring them when you guys get to talking Friday night or whatever, right?
Listen, if their job's boring and if whatever reason they're trying to be funny, the joke's not landing well, as much as I try to laugh, it's been all over my face.
That, yeah. Okay. No, I think that might be a positive, by the way, because you don't waste all that time.
Yeah, you're not phony.
Thinking maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it should actually be more like, yeah, no, your joke sucks.
Okay. All right. So who else is here?
Yeah, you probably calm it down.
Cecilia's a tough room. That's right. What we're learning. You got to bring your A game when you're talking to Cecilia. All right, let's try, give me some line eight, if you wouldn't mind. This is the lovely Monique. She is in Alhambra, and she is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're lining up some women to join us in Las Vegas this weekend for the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party. Monique, same question to you as the other ladies. Your best quality, please.
Well, I actually think I have two best qualities. I am a huge Star Wars fan, and I have great boobs.
I mean, that's
I mean, all right.
Yeah, that's three.
That's three.
Three great qualities. All right, go on. So far, I'm in love. What's your worst quality, though?
I tend to talk a lot.
If you got great boobs, nobody's listening to you.
That's right. But isn't that great at a party, especially when you're trying to get a conversation going with somebody new, to have some at least one person in that conversation who's
with great
a talker?
Boobs.
Who's a talker?
Sorry.
Talker is what
Pete
was saying.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Monique. Very impressive. Thank you. All right.
How are we going to pick here?
I mean, I think we're going to do what we always do, which is just hope to come to a consensus. If not, we just have to do drawing, I guess.
All right.
I think we have time for maybe one more, maybe two if we go fast. Who do you like?
Maybe Bernadette.
All right, let's try Bernadette. Line 5, Buena Park.
All right, Bernadette, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's your best quality?
I'm fearless. I don't know how to be afraid.
Okay, fearless is great for a singles party because a lot of people just stand around and hope for somebody else to come up to them.
Yeah, she could lead the party.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Now, I have to ask Bernadette, what have you done that is fearless? I mean, do you, like, run across all 8 lanes of the 5, or what are you doing?
She didn't say
she's
stupid.
Not an idiot.
Well, I just want to know what she thinks as fearless.
I drove a year ago from Washington State with my 2 preschoolers 28 hours nonstop from Washington to here.
Well, I mean, that's just dumb.
Yeah, she does make that. That's quite a road trip. All right, worst quality, Bernadette.
Worst quality, I call people out. Like, I read somebody and I tell them the ugliest things about them, and I don't necessarily mean to. I just get really honest with people. I get really real.
Okay. All right.
I like to know people.
Right.
To really get to know people.
So you're fearless.
That means the ugly stuff.
You're fearless. You'll walk up to them and you'll start a conversation with them, but they'll say, everything's wrong about you. I don't like your look. I don't like your attitude.
It's less everything wrong and more like, wow, you're really, really sad about this thing, and I can totally read it. And that's why you're being so rude about this thing right now.
Okay, so Bernadette gets in your head. All right, we got you. Thank you very much. All right, guys, this is a nice batch of ladies, and I'm telling you what, get all these women in, you'd have a party.
Agreed.
We can only give away one right now. Does anyone have a favorite? I kind of liked the hilarious but clingy Melissa, if I'm being honest.
How do you not want someone with big old boobs that's just going to chat everyone up?
I have no problems with Monique as well. I thought Monique was lovely.
I'm on the Monique train as well.
Yeah, you are.
All right. Let's all talk to Monique then.
Congratulations, Monique.
Yay! May the force be with you.
Right.
Did we get played? Does Monique know Kevin Bean too well that all she had to say was the word boobs and she was in?
Probably.
And Star Wars.
And Star Wars. Yeah, she's smart. All right. We'll see you on Friday, Monique. Thank you.
Sounds great.
All right, bye now.
No, Kevin, look, you've got to improve your catitude, all right? You should be feline good about this. Allie, help me out here.
Listen, I am not a cat fan, but I am a fan of Susan Michaels.
I am as well.
I am a fan of her puns.
Oh.
I am a fan of all the people she brings together over something that they love, but mostly I'm a fan that I'm watching Kevin's soul die a painful death every time she's in. That is what I'm mostly a fan
of. Wait, if I wasn't upset by her, we wouldn't have her on?
Yes, we would, because it's a great event.
It's a great event.
All right, let me set it up. Susan Michaels, first of all, welcome, Susan. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Are you perfect?
I am superb today.
Okay. Susan is the LA organizer of CatCon, you guys, and we have her in every year. The event is at the Pasadena Convention Center this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, catconla.com. How many people are expected to go through the doors at the convention center this weekend, Susan?
I would say somewhere between 16 and 17 of the coolest and hippest cat people in the world.
16 and 17 is a very small outing.
Thousand.
Thousand.
You didn't
say thousand.
Oh, I forgot that part.
You said 16 or 17. I thought things have fallen on hard times.
I thought you were underselling yourself a little bit too, Susan.
Sorry.
And how many actual cats will be in the room?
Well, people can't bring their cats because that would be a cat fight. but
sure, it'd be a catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
But I mean, you have so many other. You have cats there for
yes,
displays
yes,
and celebrity
yes.
cats. How many actual cats are going to be?
Let me give you guys the lowdown. We have 200 cats and kittens that are coming in for adoption in our adoption village.
Oh, then,
I'm fine with adoptions. I just like to say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
All right.
Okay, to date we've gotten 327 cats adopted, but then we have a bunch of celebrity cats. We have.
Who's the big name this year, Susan?
We've got Bub. Bub is
Bub. Oh, little Bub.
Bub is Bubak. But we've got some kitty up-and-comers. We're sort of like the CAA of discovering cat talent. We've got... Okay, wait. Just hold on, Kevin.
All right.
Just hold on.
Okay.
We've got Peeny Houdini. We have Waverly McTiny Beans. We have Sir Thomas Trueheart. We have Shrampton. We have Schmushball. We have Pudge.
Do you have Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, but that's a good one. I got to write that one down.
You have the best-selling author of Cats
you have
of
Cat
Instagram.
Stevens?
No.
Look at Kevin. What Kevin is going for it here?
We could try to get, you look. Know, hey, look. You know that song, Love Cats?
Sure.
Sure, by The Cure, yeah.
I swear to God that was written about CatCon.
Okay.
I swear to God.
All right. It you know, precedes it by sure. about 30 years, but maybe. Maybe.
They were thinking about it back then.
All right. So CatCon LA this week in Pasadena Convention Center, in addition to the cats that you mentioned, what other highlights are there? You're doing something with Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, we are. Actually,
it's... Dog is in his name, by the way. Let's have a dog convention. I'm all in.
But he likes kitty cats.
Okay.
We are doing...
He doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay. Did you say perfect? Okay. Are you ready? We're doing a lecture called Cannabis and Cats, What You Need to Know, Right Meow.
Okay.
It is being hosted, sponsored by Mary Jane, which is Snoop Dogg's publication. And it's all about the benefits of cannabis for cats.
We're not trying to get our cats high, though. This is
no,
these are
not,
health benefits for CBD, right?
It's not meow-y-wanna here.
God damn it, this is difficult.
No. So listen. There has been a bill introduced for vets to be able to prescribe because there's a lot of confusion about pet dosing versus human dosing, and it's really important for vets to be able to engage with pet owners and tell them what the benefits are, which could be anything from helping with arthritis to seizures to stress, and it's non-psychoactive, and it's something that is sort of uncharted territory that people just don't know about.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, my
Kevin,
gosh.
Kevin, look at you.
Wow. I'm buzzing myself.
Kevin wow. coming to play.
I think he's getting persuaded to go. No? You can
nope.
drive in your Ferrari.
So yeah. So anyway, so we've got three vets. We have the editor-in-chief of Mary Jane. And you never know. Maybe Snoop Dogg will show up.
He's
or maybe
not going to show up.
Maybe he'll call in. Maybe he'll call
he's
in here.
He's not going to call in.
You never know.
All right. Susan, we don't have a lot of time, but
okay.
I want to ask because I love cat T-shirts. I ordered. I'm waiting for the two to arrive that I bought through Taylor Swift's website of her cats, Mary
oh
and Olivia.
Oh, my God.
But are there for cat enthusiasts like me, are there things that you can buy? Are there products that you
yes,
can buy, clothing
yes.
or whatever?
We've got...
Convention?
We've got close to 200 exhibitors that are selling products for cats and cat people. We have a T-shirt specifically for Kevin that says, I work hard to so my cat can have a better life.
Okay.
There are everything from cat scratchers to T-shirts to dresses to accessories to keychains.
Do you have literature? Literature?
Oh, yeah. We even have, listen to this.
Ow.
Listen to this. We've got cat wallpaper. We've got cat DNA tests. And there's even a litter that it can alert you to your cat's issues when they pee in it.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you.
You're not kidding. I need cat wallpaper, you guys.
You
this
do.
Is fantastic.
You
all
do.
Right. $25 for a one-day pass, $40 if you want to go both days because you can't see it all in one day. Can people buy their tickets at the door or do they need to go online and get them?
They can go both ways.
Okay. Oh. CatConLA.com, Pasadena Convention Center this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Again, CatConLA.com. Susan, I hope the next year goes by really, really fast so we can do this again then.
Actually, it's CatConWorldwide.com. We are going
oh.
worldwide. We're going global. Global kitty domination. CatConWorldwide.
That's clawsome.
Okay, you're the perpetrator now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Allie's here with What's Happening, and I understand this is the hour, man. If people are
just tuning in, they're so lucky because, man, do you
They
have
just
treat.
Missed the cat lady, CatCon lady?
Well, first of all, get the podcast and enjoy the cat lady. But second of all, man, does Allie have a musical treat for you.
I'm very concerned about this because Bean said, hey, I've got a new Yoko song for you.
Oh, no.
There's no information on it. I've searched for it everywhere. And I just asked him off the air, where did you actually find this, Bean?
Somehow she gave the video and this new song to a very weird radio station in New Jersey called WFMU that is a legendary underground radio station.
Okay.
And she is 85 years old now, Yoko Ono. For folks who don't know, she is
never
the
sounded
widow,
better, though.
She is the widow of John Lennon. And this album that is going to be coming out in the fall is called Warzone. Mm-hmm. And the song, all the songs on the new album are remakes of songs she's done previously. She's decided she wanted to go back and take another crack at some of her past musical
great
songs.
Because she wasn't happy with the first run?
Or maybe I wasn't. Kevin definitely was.
Or maybe she's just changed her approach. Maybe being 85 makes you look at things differently than when you might have recorded something 50 years prior. So she wanted to put a new modern spin on it.
I mean, she's the person that did this. Remember? She was just sitting there in the Museum of Modern Art or whatever and just making noise that was so painful.
She's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. She's an avant-garde artist. And
She's not an artist.
She is an avant-garde artist who, by the way, was well-known and successful even before she met John Lennon. In fact, he was a fan of hers when they met.
Nope.
But this song, which none of you have heard, is a remake of her song Hell in Paradise. So we present for you, for the first time on Allie's What's Happening, brand new Yoko Ono.
This is hell in paradise. We're all asleep, all paralyzed. Why are we scared to verbalize?
I mean, it's Wing-esque.
Dreams.
Not as good a voice.
Where will we come to realize?
She's a bummer, I'll tell you that.
Or stoned, or pacified.
Or stoned, or pacified.
By the boogeyman.
Boogeyman.
Organize their multi-level schemes.
It's got a good beat. You can dance to it. I know that.
If there's any theme in Yoko's work throughout her life, her music and her activism, it's anti-war.
Right.
So I sense that's what Hell in Paradise is all about. And from some of those lyrics I was able to make out, it sounds like that's her statement.
I have another 3 minutes of that song.
No, you
could
don't.
We just, I don't think we heard the hook. It sounded like we were getting ready to get to the hook. Can we hear some of that?
Underqualified for love. Overqualified for life. Sticking our heads inside. Thinking we are in our prime.
It's cute that you thought there would be a hook.
Right.
That's really nice.
I mean, if we're honest with ourselves.
She's terrible.
It could be Pink Floyd-esque. If it wasn't her singing and that was Roger Waters.
Well, of course.
It sounds a little Pink Floyd-y.
Okay.
In other words, there might be the bones.
As long as she was not involved in it.
Yeah, okay, song.
Yeah,
there.
The bones are there of, if I'm not sure where she's going, if at the end all of a sudden she's got an answer to.
Well, we have
another
2.5 minutes.
Paradise.
By mythology.
I don't think we need it.
By ideology. Antagonized by reality.
I mean, remember...
It's begging for a remix, though. I know that.
Is it?
It is. It's begging for... Put a beat on that, man. Now you got something. Pitch your way up. Make it so it doesn't sound like Yoko Ono. Now you got something.
It's going to take more than a beat to have something.
I'm trying to think of what that NXS song was.
Never Tear Us Apart?
No, it was a lot like that. It was just words that kept rhyming.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. Was it Mediate?
Mediate, Regulate. Yeah, all of the songs. It if it had a beat, and Michael Hutchence.
Okay. So we need to cut her out is what we're saying.
Bring Michael Hutchence back.
Bring him back to life.
A different recording, a different singing, different musical instruments, different lyric. That's
otherwise,
all I meant.
The bones are there.
But that was, and then it's great. For her, though, that was... pretty song-esque.
Thank you.
Song adjacent.
Yes.
For her, pretty good.
Because she wasn't screaming.
Yes. Right. Right. Okay. And being someone sent that to you or?
No, I follow WFMU.
You follow that super obscure radio station.
Wait, don't you only follow like 90 people? And it's a hard number?
It's a hard number. We'll not go above it. It is a legendary underground radio station that I have been obsessed with, you know, for 30 years. And they do things like this. And I'd like to be in and on the loop on that.
Sure. You're going to be the first to hear the new Yoko Ono.
Well, yeah. If I hadn't, we might not even know about it right now if I hadn't been paying attention.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Some would say better off.
You're welcome. I don't know about you guys, but I cannot wait to see the new Spike Lee joint, if you will, Black Klansman.
That does look great.
It looks phenomenal, where a black man infiltrated the KKK. It looks phenomenal. Well, here's the thing. Topher Grace was in that. He played the Ku Klux Klan leader, David Duke, and he said it was just a mentally taxing role. And something that he does to help him detox from things is film editing. Did you know this about him?
No.
He, in 2012, trimmed down the Star Wars prequels to an 85-minute film, which became this big deal. Like, everybody was watching this, so you didn't have to watch the prequels. But fascinating that this is what this man does when he needs to take his mind off of something. He edits films. What he did during the filming of Black Klansman is he made his own 2-hour cut of the Hobbit trilogy. What? You guys.
That's a strange hobby.
Yes. I am fascinated by this because other people have tried cutting down The Hobbit into, you know, a 400-plus minute odyssey. But he went even further and he broke it down into, they're saying it's just an hour and 20 minutes. It says 2 hours
on
the title, but, which I guess 60 and 60 is 2 hours. I just did math.
Elliot math. The best.
First,
you just didn't do math, and then you did math.
I was like, the title's wrong, so that's dumb.
Allie is to math what Yoko is to music.
I think Yoko's better. He said stars, by
fraternity. So can we see this?
Not just yet, but here's the thing. I am fascinated by that about him. He says he doesn't want to be an editor. It's just what he does. Some people go fishing. He says this to him is a hobby. It's like woodworking to him. It's just what he does to relax. Once that's out, I want to watch that. Thank you, Topher Grace.
And for folks who don't know, by the way, the reason he needed that distraction is because he's playing a Klansman. You know, he's playing a white supremacist.
David
and he felt
Duke.
Icky. Yeah, yeah, he felt icky at the end of the day.
Yeah, you should.
Right.
By the way, I live in the state where David Duke was in office and ran for governor and almost won, by the way.
Yeah, nice choice, Bean.
Right?
Way to go, Bean.
Well, I'm not at all responsible. Okay. This happened all before right. I got here, but it's a weird thing walking around thinking about, hey, some of these people voted for David Duke.
Why'd you vote for him then?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Why did you vote for him
at all?
Great question, Chip. Why did you stump for him?
Why did you
make phone calls in your free time?
I'm saying he's a bad, bad man, and I understand why Topher didn't want to think about it when he was done with work.
Would you wear a David Duke shirt?
I would not.
Are you wearing one right now?
I am not.
Are you David Duke?
This escalated quickly.
It really did. Some birthdays
Wouldn't
for you.
Wouldn't it be weird if we just found out that Bean was David Duke?
After all this time. Oh.
That'd be pretty strange.
Yeah. Jason Momoa, Coolio, Chuck D, Sam Mendes, and Adam Duritz, happy birthday. That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show, 7940. What's up?
Great, Allie.
What?
Put that on a work computer. Why don't you look at that on a work computer? Now we're all going to get in trouble. Seriously.
No, but they can tell Allie searches from ours.
They're going to burn this place down when they see what you've been looking at work. Hey, ahead of the final What's Happening, let's welcome Beer Mug to the studio. Hey, Mugs.
What's up, you guys?
The limited edition K-Rock Gorilla sticker is available at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. As you know by now, you register to win the free Gorilla show for you and 50 friends, the new Honda Fit, and the $500 Hot Topic gift card. But every day for 2 or 3 weeks, I think Muggs is out at a different location with additional prizes, and you're going to tell us right now where you'll be today.
Yeah, this is stop 8 of 12, and we're going to be at 3525 West Carson Street in Torrance at the Del Amo Fashion Center from 1 to 3.
Del Amo.
Yeah. You know, do you know what Del Amo means in Spanish, Kevin?
No, I do not.
From the owner. So it's the land of owners.
Is that why you pronounce it all honky?
That's somehow completely boring.
You know what's not boring? We're going to have a ton of tickets. System of a Down, Incubus, Thrice. We have Flogging Molly, Dropkick Murphys. Tons of so many tickets, I don't even know what to do with them. But
Why don't you give them to people?
That's what we'll do, Kevin.
Okay.
That's what we'll do. So come down today from 1 to 3 and bring me some cream for my rash.
I mean
that's what I was Googling.
But... at the Hot Topic in Torrance, yeah. 1 to 3.
Right.
Doesn't amo mean love?
I looked it up, and it said from the owner. So.
Not amo. No.
Well, yeah, te amo is I love you, but this could be a noun and not being used as a verb or something. Okay.
Could I just say this is uninteresting?
It is. I agree with the bad man. All right, Allie, why don't you bring this one home?
What about the rash, though? Can we find out more about his rash?
I would like to find out more about that.
Oh, disturbing. I don't think it's hand, foot, mouth disease. I just looked that up. But it looks more like the syphilis rash that
so you're going to go on the dark web and find the answer to that.
Good stuff. You guys, MoviePass, they are raising prices and restricting access to the newest movies. I don't know if you heard about this over the weekend. People were freaking out because they were trying to see Mission Impossible, and the pages were coming up just completely blacked out. And it was only happening in certain parts of the country. But the parent company of embattled movie theater subscription service MoviePass announced yesterday they're going to seek to limit losses by hiking its monthly fees by 50% within the next 30 days. Yes. They're also, though, just to make up for that, they're going to limit your opportunities to see most films during their first 2 weeks in theaters.
Wow.
What?
They're making all bad decisions.
They are. The company shares have plunged 96% over the last week. They were unable to make payments to merchants and fulfillment processors, and they had service interruptions with at least 3 million customers unable to access tickets. That doesn't sound good.
No, that seems the opposite of good.
Yeah. I can't believe I don't own stock in that company.
That's
right?
Very true. Very true. What movie would you think has hit $1 billion faster than any other animated film? So you know it's an animated film.
Is this the... It can't be Hotel Transylvania. Could it be...
Despicables.
No, it was something else earlier this... Oh, Incredibles 2.
Incredibles 2.
Is what I...
Yes. Despicables. I thought, does he mean Incredibles?
I did.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Wow.
Well, you could have been like Despicable Me, but then you just...
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
You even... I knew it. Photobombed... That incredible
that
family
happened.
Down at,
sure.
at
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, mm-hmm. yeah. But after 7 weekends in theaters and with releases in several major markets overseas still to come, Disney Pixar's Incredibles 2 has hit $1 billion at the global
box office.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Crazy.
Pixar, man. Right?
Right. That's a good point.
They know what they're doing. Absolutely. And if you missed it, you guys, the Ocho is back. When? Well, obviously, on August 8th. 8-8. It's when...
I need this to be full time.
Yeah. It's when ESPN2 switches over to do a full 24 hours of fun, offbeat programming, beginning and ending with the showing of the inspiration behind it all, Dodgeball, a true underdog story. Here are some of the sports you can catch on the Ocho. Ouchtown, population you, bro. Sky Zone Ultimate Dodgeball Championship. That is dodgeball on trampolines,
you
guys.
Honestly, that's awesome. All they're missing is drinking.
Absolutely. Of course, you've got cornhole.
Sure.
You've got Major League Eating. Spikeball East Tour Series. That's basically volleyball, but with trampolines instead of a net.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. So much fun. You're basically just spiking balls at each other. World Championship of Ping Pong. The Fenway Hurling Classic, which I refuse to look up because I just hope it's people just puking at Fenway.
I mean,
but
I don't going for distance,
is.
Though.
Going for distance.
Puking for distance, right.
And going for speed.
Sure.
Pilot. Go ahead. This interests me. The Sabre Legion 2018 Awakening. It's the world's biggest custom dueling organization, founded in 2015, highlighting the best in high-level lightsaber combat. You guys!
I mean, come on.
Boy, the guys who are participating in lightsaber combat in a million years never imagined they would be on ESPN.
Ever.
ever. It's just good. And, of course, Kevin's favorite sport, chess boxing. Chess boxing, a hybrid sport, started in 2003, designed to test both the body and the mind with three-minute rounds of each sport for a total of 11 rounds.
That is pretty strong.
Kevin wants to add drinking to
that. Drink, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like you could add drinking to every single one of those events and it would make it better.
Yeah.
And dodgeball. For the viewer as well, you should add the drink.
Right, agreed.
Absolutely. But again, the Ocho returning on August the 8th on ESPN2. Looking forward to that. Well, we all knew that Andrew Lincoln had said he was leaving The Walking Dead after 8 seasons, but he has finally shared the reason.
Okay.
Oh.
Family. The 44-year-old said that he just misses his 2 kids and his wife. And he said, quote, "It was time for me to come home." His family is based in England, and he said the shooting schedule for The Walking Dead had him spending more than half the year in Georgia.
That's tough.
He missed his family.
I get it.
This is how he told the cast of Walking Dead.
You're cool. You, I'm out.
I heard he just held up little signs. To me, you were perfect. Next sign. But I gotta go. Next sign. Spend time with my family. That was the weakest buzz ever. I made an awful Love Actually joke for the second time in 2 weeks.
Right.
I think it deserved more of a bad buzz.
Wow.
Or a turtle that's getting some nookie. I enjoy it. And lastly, Jennifer Lopez, you guys, she is getting the prestigious Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award at the 2018 MTV Video Music Awards. She will also be performing on the show for the first time since 2001. Not that interested?
Rodney just doesn't know.
No. Here's the thing. She looks as good as she did in 2001 now.
She does. She really does. She's phenomenal looking.
She really is just a specimen.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. If you're wondering about other winners of the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award, you've got people like Beyonce, Kanye West, Rihanna, Madonna, Guns N' Roses, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Pink. And the show is set to air live from Radio City Music Hall on Monday, August 20th at 9 p.m.
Pretty interesting.
On MTV. It is. It is indeed.
Yes.
Yes. Some birthdays for you. Adam Duritz.
And they're from Canada.
I don't think that's true. Are they?
No, I don't think they are.
What if they were?
If Rodney says it, it's
be
Rory
Alley.
Sam Mendes.
Wow.
Yeah. Jason Momoa.
Okay.
Nothing. Mm-mm. Chuck D.
Okay. Why?
Well, it's just his birthday.
Okay.
And finally, rap artist, chef extraordinaire, Coolio.
I love fat asses. I'm an ass man. I've been talking about all day, but I like ass. I like a nice round behind. How about that? Yeah.
I mean,
how about that?
He speaks for us all.
Right?
And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Dr. Drew on the program. We've got your last chance to win tickets for the Kevin and Bean singles party. Your very last chance. And we're going to talk to somebody that everyone's talking about an event that everyone is talking about. Nate Chops Johnson.
Yes.
From the Gentleman's Social Club of Los Angeles SoCal Beard and Mustache Competition.
Oh, we got Chops coming in?
Right, Chops.
I thought we were just talking to Bushy. I didn't realize we had Chops.
Stupid.
That's awesome.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.